You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast with Dr. Marcia Bailey.
All right, let's go to the Word of God. Ephesians, starting at verse 14, I believe, is where I want to start. Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and among the things he prays for them, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit," where? In the inner man. That verse 16 is our text. That he would grant you according to his riches, to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That verse from New Living Translation says, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit." The Amplified, that verse says, "May he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality." And then the Message Translation says, "I ask him to strengthen you by his spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength." Everybody say inner strength. Inner strength is the title of this series that we started last week. Pastor Marcia gave her spin on it last week. It's always a little bit different, but I'm sure it blessed you about inner strength. And so I got to catch you all up to where I was with the second service. But let me just tell you, when we talk about inner strength, I want you to know that in order to accomplish anything of significance, we need inner strength, or strength in the inner man. I have a great concern, if you allow me to say, about us neo-Christians. When I say us neo-Christians versus some of us who got saved in the last millennium, okay? Those of us who got saved in the last century, should I say, you know? But you know, us new Christians, y'all, you know, we got it made. Y'all know you can name and claim it. You know that God can get you cars and houses and all that. When I came along, we wasn't serving God for none of that. We were serving God because we could go to heaven. And thank God he delivered us from our sin, and I won't have to burn forever and ever. Amen. And that was enough, and we were serving God for it, you know. And if you had a good life here on earth, well, praise God, that was an extra added boldness. But I'm just serving God for saving me, and that we came to realize we was a miserable life of sin. Amen. You know, God delivered God. Thank God for saving me from a miserable life of sin. And the reason why I said you had to come to realize that, because most of us, sin was not and is not miserable. Sin is fun and pleasurable. But after you've been saved for a long time, you really experienced the Lord, then comparing it, you realize I really was miserable, but I didn't know it. But when you was dropping like it was hot, doing anything you thought you were big enough to do, smoking, whatever, you did not say, "Man, this is so miserable." No, you thought you was having fun. But when you experience real joy, then in comparison, you realize the Lord really did save you from a miserable life of sin. But and so my concern now is that many of us, we don't have enough root to keep us through stuff. You know, and so now we got our eyes, we got our minds on superficial stuff and stuff that God, watch it, that God will do and God can do. But if he don't, you still got to be able to stand. I'm going to do a series. I've been meditating on it for several months now, and I'm going to be just putting it together in the next few weeks, probably. He can, he will, but if he don't. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, the Hebrew name. He can, he will, but if he don't, our God can deliver us. Our God will deliver us. But guess what? Even if he don't, I'm not going to backslide. I'm not taking back. I'm not changing my confession. God is still God. I'm not going to praise him any less. Oh, come on now. And so some of us, we're conditional praise. We praise God on payday. We praise God on the 1st and the 15th. Come on, we praise God if your husband is acting right, if your kids are acting right, okay? We praise God because you finally got a ring on your finger. And some of y'all don't know, depending on who put it on there, that may not be a reason to praise. Depending on what kind of ring it is, your finger might break out in a rash. Okay. You know, we're conditional praises. But we got to praise God because he's God. We got to love him because he's your creator. Come on, you didn't hear what I said. He's your creator, not merely your car giver, not merely your house giver. He's your creator. You are created to praise him. And so I have a concern that, and then when things don't go the way we want them to go, and God don't operate on our time clock, and God doesn't operate on our calendar, and he doesn't cooperate with our deadline, our praise goes down, our church attendance goes down, our joy goes down. No, you got to have some inner strength that keeps you going, that keeps you praising, that keeps you rejoicing, regardless of what's going on around you. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually. When things are up, when things are down, when things are happening, when things aren't happening, when I see it, when I don't see it, when everything's gone good or everything's gone bad, I will bless the Lord at all times. As neo-worshippers, we run because this happened. We shout because that happened. Low check, low praise. Low circumstances, low church attendance. And we got to have strength that goes beyond that. This can refer to in the scripture as spiritual strength. It's inner strength. It's spiritual strength. It's a recurring theme in Paul's writings. He refers to it when he tells Timothy, his son in the gospel, as a young pastor. He tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1. He said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, stop trying to rely on your own sufficiency, your own education, your own know-how, your own experience. I told y'all I started off as a young pastor, and thank God, some of y'all hear me repeat these things, but thank God I'm 18 years in pastoring now. You know, last month was officially 40 years I was preaching, but 18 years pastoring. I got to thinking about the things that I learned early on that people are old and still don't know. You know, something you ought to thank God that you learned when you were young. Come on now. It's just look stupid to be old and stupid. Just come on. You ever see folks like, now you too old for that, you know. You know, come on now. I know you 70 and she 20. You really think she in love with you? Anyway, folks used to say, it's no fool like an old fool. And so certain things I learned early on. One of the things I learned early on is I can't do this thing by myself. My education is not sufficient. My experience is not sufficient. My knowing people is not sufficient. I need the power of God. And it's not going to be by my might, nor going to be by my power. It's going to be by the Spirit of the Lord. Inner strength is God's power, God's might in you. So Paul later says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, look at that. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Highlight there, in the Lord. He said, he's not telling you, you know, go out and work out at the gym so you can be strong, endure, and be able to make it through trials. Go out and run a marathon so you can run this Christian race. It's not that the natural can't be compared with the spiritual. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Notice that the object of our strength and the source of our strength has to be the Lord. It's in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God. It's spiritual armor that God gives you. He said that you can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So God will give you strength for the purpose of standing against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means tricks. Wiles means schemes. Wiles means devices. Wiles means weapons. But the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And the Bible tells us that no weapon that the devil forms against us is supposed to prosper. Are you following me here? And the Bible tells us that we should be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil, because Paul goes on to say, if you press into God, pray in the Spirit, if you keep your ear to the mouth of God, you will not be ignorant of his devices.
You'll be able to see the devil from afar off. When you hear this conversation, you'll know the root of it is the devil. So the conversation don't have to go on for a half hour. But the devil said to me, and I told the devil, and the devil said to me, and I told the devil, you a lie. But the devil said, come on now, how long is this conversation going to go on? It's like arguing with a three-year-old. Now you go to bed. Now, come on. After a while, you look crazy. When you talk to the devil too long, you look crazy. He's underneath your feet. He's not your equal. He's supposed to speak only when spoken to. You got to recognize your authority. Stop letting the devil talk so much. But the devil put all that kind of stuff. You know, they don't like you. They don't want you here. Everybody's looking at you. They're all talking about you. And now you in your mind, you're hearing all this stuff. You got to tell all those voices to shut up. So you got to be strong. You're going to have to be strong. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the tricks, all that talk the devil does to you. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, organized. You need to understand, the ranks of the devil are organized. Amen. The devil is not just haphazardly attacking people. He attacks people based upon their weaknesses. He attacks you based upon areas where you're vulnerable. That's why the Bible says you can't afford not to have any of the armor not on. Put on all of it. Keep it on. Your head, your breastplate. Come on, your feet, your spirit. You got to put on the whole armor of God. He said, because the devil's not playing. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but organize a bureaucratic structure, even in a demonic realm, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he said, knowing that the devil ain't playing. Come on, now, can I stop right there? I think some of you young people, you think the devil's playing. There's certain things I just never wanted to open the door for in my life. I saw my father get addicted to drugs. I saw my brother get addicted to drugs. I saw my sisters get addicted to drugs. Now, you think the devil was playing with my family? I would dare not even try to smoke, not even one time, reefer, because I knew that devil was not playing with my family. He got my father. He got my sisters. If he could, he would get me. I can't afford to experiment. I can't afford to open up certain doors because I know that devil ain't playing. If he couldn't get my father, he'll try to get me. If he can't get me, he'll try to get my son. You got to realize that the devil's not playing. So you got to have on the whole armor of God. Then the Bible says, be sober. Come on. Think straight. Be vigilant. You know, young ladies are taught today, you don't just let anybody just walk up to you and give you a drink. Come on now. Come on. What? Why? That's not being sober. My sister who died when she was 21, my first sister died, we had the same birthday. And I found her December 5th, I believe 1975. I had a key to her apartment. She had a daughter. We kept a daughter. She was going out. And for a couple of days, we hadn't heard back from her. My mother said, go over there. See what's going on over there. Went over there. I found my sister dead. And then we found out, they said later, that she had water alcohol. Somebody had slipped her something in her drink. The devil ain't playing, y'all. See, some of you young people who've been being taught, the devil's not playing when you're going to these parties and you're just hanging out with these people that don't know God and don't know what you know, don't know anything about spiritual warfare, don't know anything about the blood, don't know anything about spiritual attack. And that's why you got to be careful who you hanging with, because sometimes it ain't you, it's them, but you with them. Come on, you got to be sober. You got to be vigilant. So that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying the devil will take you out if you let your guard down. Take you out at a party. Take you out through a relationship. Take you out through something that looks good to you. Take you out through a desire of your flesh. He says, so put on the whole armor of God that you can be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. So spiritual strength helps you to be strong so you can stand. And then he says, after you stand, now you're going to have to withstand. The Spirit of the Lord said this to me last week in the first service. Standing is what you determine to do before you go in the fight. I will stand. And then withstanding is what you do after you've been hit in the fight. Come on now. So first you got to make up your mind you're going to stand. And then after you've been hit, after you've been rocked, after you've been stung, you got to make up your mind, I will withstand. Now, devil, you hit me, but I will not go down. Yes, I've been stung, but I will not quit. Yes, I've been discouraged, but I will not go home. I'm going to do what I got to do to get back in this fight. I may have to block for a little while. I may have to go in defense before I go back to offense, but I'm going to come back out. I'm going to renew my strength. I'm going to get my head together. I'm going to get my strength together. And after I get my head together, my strength together, I'm going to start swinging again. I'm going to start being aggressive again. Tell somebody, I will withstand. Make up your mind to withstand. Withstand. So what, you've been hit. You ain't the first person been hit. So what, you're going through a divorce. You ain't the first person went through a divorce. So what, you had a car repossessed. You ain't the first person had a car repossessed. So what, you lost a house. There's a whole lot of folks who lost a house. You see the one they're living in now, but the first one was taken from them too. But they got up again. They said, you know what? I realize now, they ain't playing when you get two payments behind. Now my faith is every month my bill gonna be paid. I ain't gonna be in this place again. But God, if you give me another chance, I'm gonna get back in this thing. That ain't the last house you can have. That's not the last car you can have. You gotta withstand. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand and then withstand. You need spiritual strength that goes beyond the natural. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's natural. He said, we're not just, this ain't just natural stuff. Some of the stuff that you face in your life, some of these mental torment that you're having, that's not natural stuff. It's not a natural pill that's going to deal with that stuff. It's not just natural counseling that's going to help. You're going to have to get the word of God. You have to counterattack with the word. You're going to have to counterattack with the blood of Jesus. You have to counterattack with spiritual weaponry so you can be able to withstand. You need strength that goes beyond the natural. David starts talking about supernatural strength when he says in Psalms 18 and verse 29, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. That's Psalms 18, 29. By you I run. Who can? You can't run through a troop naturally. He said, but when your anointing gets on me, can't nobody stop me. I ain't scared of nothing. I ain't scared of nobody. I know that God is with me. I know I'm in the will of God. And by you, I can run through a troop and I can leap over walls. The New Living Translation says, in your strength, I can crush any army. I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. David said, I can make it. In the strength of God, I can go through mountains. I can go through hills. I can go through valleys. I can go through anything. Say that. I can go through anything with God's strength. The primary purpose and benefit of inner strength is the ability to stand and withstand. Stand before. Make up your mind. Before you go in the fight. Withstand even after you're in the fight. And the proof and the test of inner strength is whether or not you're able to stand under pressure. It's one thing to say I'm going to stand. It's another thing to stand after the wind's been blowing. You know, we often talk. I don't hear preachers talk about it because, you know, Job, you know, the good preaching stuff in Job is in the first two or three chapters. So that's all the stuff we hear people preach about from Job. You know, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And all these things, Job charged not God falsely with his mouth. Keep on reading. That's how Job started out. Job, the house is destroyed. Your children are destroyed. Job, all your livestock is gone. Job said, he knows the way I take. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though God wasn't doing it with spiritual warfare. Okay, he didn't have all the insight. But the longer he went on, keep reading towards the end of Job. Job starts saying stuff like, curse was the day I was born. Shoot the man who told my mama she had a male child. He said, I mean, keep reading. He said, I wish my mother had closed her legs while I was coming out. Just choked me to death. That doesn't sound like somebody who's continued to be in victory. He said, God, why are you doing this to me? You hunt me like a lion with a bow. See, it's not how you start out in the trials. Oh, come on now. Yeah, I can make it, but let it go a little bit longer than you thought. Let it look like God's not coming on your calendar. Will you still have strength to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? I don't know what's going on. Oh, dude, will you still have strength to say, whether I live or die, I still win? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord. And I'm going to go out letting the devil know he didn't take me out. He didn't make me change my confession. I still say God's a healer. I still say God's a deliverer. I still say God's a way maker. I still say God's a mountain mover. I still say that God is one who can make a tunnel through a river. I still say that great is the Lord. Come on now. When it goes longer than you think it's going to go, do you still have an attitude of praise? Keep reading Job. Job hung there for a while. Heard a preacher say this morning, he said when his wife got mental illness. I said, I didn't read that in the Bible. But I guess Job said, that's because she said, curse God and die. He said, you speak like a crazy woman. Yeah, he hung in there. But your mind got to be made up. I'm going all the way with the Lord. Come on now. I'm going, there is nothing that can happen in my life to make me stop worshiping, to make me stop praising. Oh, watch this. To make me stop tithing, to make me stop coming to church. Devil, you better go pick on somebody who don't know any better. Go pick on somebody who's still trying to figure this thing out. I have settled it in my mind. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to serve the Lord till I die, even in the midst of things I don't understand. When promises I've been claiming don't look like they're manifesting, it's nothing wrong on God's part. It's something wrong on my part. God is a good God, and he's good all the time. My theology may be wrong, but my God is still right. And can you acknowledge that? Sometimes our theology is wrong. Okay? Then God did not promise he gonna do what we think he said. He said he gonna do what he said. And so sometimes we think he said that, and that's not what he said. Let me give you an example. We've already, a man's gift will make room for him. A man's gift will, and you think just because you gifted, doors gonna open up. Oh no, when it says a gift, it's talking about you sowing a seed. So you stand there, I'm a great singer, doors ain't opening. You ain't sowed any seed. You haven't made a move. And then the Bible says stuff like this. A dream coming through the multitude of business. So you think you're just going to stand there and all dreams going to come through. Dreams come through a multitude of business. In other words, there's a lot of little things that you got to do on the way to getting that big thing. And sometimes the little things seem tedious. Sometimes those little things seem like it's not making any sense. Why am I doing this? Wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. I want to kick. I want to fight. Wax on, wax off. No, I want to kick some devil butt. Wax on, wax off. I got to sing before the masses. And I know God's told me I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. And then you start off in class talking about me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Something with me, 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 me. I want to do some runs. I want to do some riffs. How about before you try to do all the riffs, can you see if you can hold a note? Some folks do riffs because they can't hold a note. So sometimes you got to do a lot of little things on the way to doing the big thing. Will you tell somebody it counts? Come on, tell somebody it counts. The little things that counts. All my children are college graduates, but a couple of them, they've been talking to me about their careers and where they're going. You know, I'm encouraging them. And two of them said to me last couple weeks, said, Dad, I don't think I want to work for nobody. I want to go do my own thing. I said, I understand that. Okay? And, you know, and they see their dad being a pastorpreneur. Yeah. There's a book called that, Pastor. Nobody can do this thing except God be with them. It's one thing to go to school and then send out a resume, hope somebody call you to a big church. It's another thing to start with your family and say, God, send the people. Okay, it's a different level of faith, I can assure you. Okay? They seen where we came from, and I had to remind them. I said, I know you want to go forward by yourself, and I believe you can be successful. I said, I keep in mind, but there's a principle in the Word of God. And the principle says, first you got to be faithful into that which is another man's, and then God will give you your own. And sometimes while you're working for these companies, you're working for that which is another man. Look like nobody's noticing you. Look like the things you're doing are just menial tasks. And you don't realize those menial tasks you're doing, you're going to have to know. So when you're running your own company, you need somebody to do that menial task, you can show them how to do it.
You've been listening to the Direction for Life podcast. To get this message in its entirety, please visit our online bookstore at rightdirection.info or call 877-798-5433. If you're in our area, join us at one of our three locations, Columbia, Florence, or Orangeburg. Until next time, listen for that still small voice that says, "This is the way, walk ye in it."